Great. I don't think it's quite warm enough to be running around with the top down on the convertible yet, though. Okay. It's funny how people behave, right? If it gets to be this temperature in the fall, everyone is freaking out and putting their winter coat on. But after the winter, coming out the other side of it, if it gets to be this warm, everyone thinks it's time for shorts, right? So people are just the way they are, I guess. We're going to continue this morning with our series of studies in the book of Colossians, and we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse 11. And I've titled the message, Strengthened with All Might. Strengthened with All Might. Let's read verse 9, 10, and 11, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get started with the message. Verse 9, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We just pray, Lord, that as we again come to Your Word this morning, that we'll have open hearts and minds that are receptive and attentive to what Your Word has to say. We pray that we would be people who endeavor not just to know intellectually what the Word says, but to do it and to act upon it and to, by faith, believe it, trust it, reckon it to be so, and yield to it in the details of our life. We're grateful for this time we could spend together as a church, opening Your Word and studying it. We pray that we'll be edified and grow in our understanding of You for having done so. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So last week we concluded our look at Colossians 1:10, all right, and we were looking at that. And thus far we've observed the following regarding the Holy Spirit's prayer for the body of Christ. Now I'm trying to stress this just a little bit every time, that what we are reading here is still part of this prayer, this Holy Spirit-inspired prayer that the Apostle Paul is recording for us here in the book of Colossians. So if you go back to verse 9, he says, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, did not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So since hearing of the faith of the Colossians, which was back in verse 4, go back to verse 4 quickly, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, so since hearing of their faith, Paul and Timothy had not ceased to pray for them, all right? And their desire, as it says there in verse 9, where it says, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, the desire and the cause for which Paul and Timothy were praying for the Colossians was that they might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, right? And then if you get to verse 10, the first word is that. It's the purpose and the intent. So, being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding in verse 9 is to produce some outcomes, some so what's, some things that are going to happen as a result of that. And the first one there is that ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing in verse 10. And then we looked at being fruitful in every good work and then increasing in the knowledge of God. So there's three things in verse 10 that being filled with the knowledge of His will is going to be producing, going to be bringing about in your life, and that is a worthy walk, walking worthy unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Last Sunday I talked to you about that phrase there at the end of verse 10, increasing in the knowledge of God, and we said that, what I said about that is, that's not so much about you knowing things about God, or you knowing intellectual factoids and jots and tittles of dispensational truth and so on and so forth, that's all important, but that's what verse 9 was about. That's what being filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding is about. What verse 10 is about when it says that you walk worthy of the Lord, what the end of verse 10 is about, where it says in increasing in the knowledge of God, that's about you and I getting to know our Heavenly Father now, right? Getting to know God, getting to an understanding, have a relationship with God. In Paul's prayer on our behalf, the Holy Spirit wants us to know the Father. His prayer on our behalf is that we truly know the heart of God towards us, and we might as well start getting to know God now, because I showed you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, is He going to take all of the ages of eternity to make known to us the issue of the riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, right? And so what God has done now is He's given you the Holy Spirit. He's put His Spirit in you. He's given you His completed Word. And He's given you and me the capacity to know God when? Now, okay? Through His Word and through His indwelling Holy Spirit, okay? And I said, this isn't knowledge for the sake of knowledge. This is knowledge for your walk's sake. This is knowledge for your walk and your relationship with God and getting to know Him. Okay? We know that Paul says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity what? Edifieth, right? So what we're talking about here at the end of verse 10 there, when it says, increasing in the knowledge of God, is not just knowing factoids and stuff about God, but literally being able to know and have a relationship with the God of the universe through what He's done for us through Christ. Okay? Now, this morning what we want to do is we want to consider some further outcomes and or results of being filled with the knowledge of His will when we get now to verse 11. So everybody look with me now at verse 11, and this is the verse that I want to teach on specifically this morning. So everything I just said is review, okay? It's trying to set the table for what we're going to do next, understanding that there are two or three verses here that came before in this train of thought as we pick up now with verse 11. Look at the first phrase of verse 11. He says, strengthened with all might, okay? Strengthened with all might. So the next thing in this prayer is that we would be strengthened with all might. Now, we need to sort of break that down a little bit and understand that, so that we can kind of wrap our minds around that. The first thing is, strengthened is a verb. Okay? Strengthened with all might. The verb rendered strengthened in English is in the present tense and the passive voice. Okay? Present tense means, when are we to be strengthened? Now or later? Now. It's passive in the sense that this is not something that I am going to do of my own strength. There's a strengthening here that's going to come upon me through some other means, right? This is not going to be the strength of Brian Ross. This is going to be the strength of God or Christ in me, as we'll see ultimately, okay? Therefore, Paul's desire is the Colossians be strengthened in the present, okay? This strengthening is not something that the Colossians can do to themselves. Rather, it is passive in that it is something that is done to them. So, obviously, you know, you understand the difference between you doing something in your own strength, right? I mean, can I in my own strength do a lot of things that would be perceived as good works of human goodness, if you will, right? I mean, I can do a lot of things in that capacity. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about a strength that is going to come from you through your power, through your ability, for your ability to do anything. He's ultimately going to be talking about a strengthening with might. Notice the next phrase there in verse 11. According to His glorious what? Power. The strengthening here with all might is not my strength. It's not your strength. It's going to be Christ's what? Strength. It's going to be His strength that He's talking about here ultimately. So just go jump ahead just a little bit to just point that out to you here. But this is a strength that the Colossians are not going to produce of their own. It's going to be a strength that is acted upon them because of the origin of the particular strength that the text is talking about here. Okay? So, he says in verse 11, strengthen with all might. This is the only time that the verb here, rendered strengthen, occurs in the New Testament. Now you'll find other occurrences of strengthened, but they're translations of other words, okay? Other related words that have similar meanings or synonyms or whatever. But this is the only time that this particular word occurs in the New Testament text is right here in this verse where it says strengthened with all might, okay? So for breaking this down, the word strengthened, what does the word strengthened mean? The word strengthened means very, you know, shockingly, it means to be made strong. That's what it means, okay? To be strengthened means to be made strong, all right? So if you look at what it says there in the verse, it says, strengthen how? With what? So this strengthening, is this a very particular, precise thing that Paul's talking about here? Okay? He says, strengthened with all might, okay? So what are you to be made strong or strengthened with in verse 11? We're to be made strong and strengthened with all might. So then that should raise the question in your mind, well, what does might mean? Okay? Well, might, the word might, in this case, simply means power or strength. So you're to be strengthened with all might or strengthened with all power, right? So there's a particular power here or might that Paul has in mind when he's talking about being strengthened. Now, this word that's translated here, might, hold your hand there and come with me back to Romans chapter 1. This word is elsewhere translated as a couple different things that should be familiar to you. Okay, I just want to point these things out to you before we move on. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Why is Paul not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Because, it says, "For it is the power of God unto" what? Salvation, right? That word there translated power in that verse, that's the same word translated might. Okay? So we're to be strengthened with all might, strengthened with all power, right? If the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, then that means is there mighty power in the gospel? Okay? Is there a mighty power in the gospel to take a sinner and to save them from their sins? To take them out of Adam and to put them in Christ, right? So there's a mighty spiritual power in the gospel of Christ to save the sinner from their what? Sin. So there's might, there's strength, there's power in the gospel. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So when we think about being strengthened with all might, it's that idea, that might, that power. Now, is Colossians chapter 1 verse 11 talking about you being able to, you know, deadlift and squat 800 pounds? Is that the kind of strength and might and power that that verse is talking about? No, there's something spiritual going on here, right? There's something that's going on here in the realm of God's strength and God's power that Paul is after. Just like the power of God unto salvation is in the gospel, it's in the preaching of the cross, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says the preaching of the cross in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's what? The power of who? The power of God. So the power of God is in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in that message when it's preached. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 8. "For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above" what? "Strength, insomuch as we despaired even of life." The situation that Paul encountered when he went into Asia, was it hard? Did he endure hardship, right? Was it above his own strength to be able to deal with what he was dealing with there as he went into Asia, right? So in order for Paul to deal with that, he's going to need to be strengthened with some might and some power that's not finding its origin in him, but finding its origin in who? God Almighty. Okay? And so we understand the idea, that word there, strength, is the same word translated power in Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It's the same word translated might in Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Come back to Colossians chapter 1 now if you would. So we're trying to understand strengthened with might, okay? Colossians chapter 1, same chapter. Drop down to verse 29 quick. Notice what he says here. "Whereunto I also labor, striving together according to His" what? "Working." Who's working in Paul? The Lord Jesus Christ, right? God Almighty is at work in Paul's life, in his ministry, right? He says, "Whereunto as I also labor, striving according to His working," now watch, "which worketh in me." So where's He working? He's working in him. How's He working? Last word in that verse. He's working how? Mightily, right? So the end of the chapter takes you back to verse 11. Go back to verse 11. As part of this prayer, he says, "Strengthen with all" what? So Paul's desire, before we move off that first phrase, Paul's desire is that the Colossians be strengthened with all might when? Tomorrow or today? Now or next week? Now. right? In the present tense. Strengthen with all might. Okay? Now, the next phrase is going to qualify that. The next phrase is going to give you more detail, more explanation of exactly what this is talking about. If you didn't have the next phrase, you might get a misconception about this strength, this might, this power, and so forth. So he explains it in verse 11, and he says, strengthen with all might according to. Okay? So the strengthening with all might is going to be according to, it's going to be in line with something. He's talking about something specific, something particular, something that this strength is related to. Notice what he says, strengthen with all might according to His glorious, what? Power. So the strengthening with might, in the first phrase, is according to or in line with His. The His is, the antecedent, obviously, in my mind, would be in verse 10, where it says, in increasing in the knowledge of who? God, then verse 11, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. So the strengthening with might is going to be according to, it's going to be in line with the power of who? The power of God Almighty. Okay? It's going to be in line with the power of God Almighty in that verse. Strengthen with all might according to His, not just power, His what? Glorious what? So there's a glorious power-working element here that Paul is praying on behalf of the Colossians that they would be strengthened with now in the details of their life. Okay? So this is not going to be accomplished by my power, by your power, by our collective power. Okay? It's going to be accomplished through His what? His glorious power. Okay? This is interesting to me. Because it seems to me that this is part of us increasing in the knowledge of God at the end of verse 10 is realizing that whatever we do is going to be by the strength of His might, right? By the strength of His power, by the strength of His ability, not our own. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Paul's desire is that we be strengthened with all might according to the mighty power of God. Now, this is not a remote statement. Paul has a lot to say about this in some of his other prayers. Hold your hand in Colossians 1 and go get Ephesians chapter 1. Now look with me at verse, start with me at verse 16. He says in Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what? So again, is he praying here in this context? Okay? That, here's what he's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, so that's God the Father, right, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now look with me at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His what? What is one of the things in this passage that Paul wants the Ephesians to know? That he wants them to understand. He wants them to know and understand in verse 19 what is the exceeding greatness of His power because He created the universe. Did He have power to do that? Yes. Because He saved Israel through the Red Sea. Did He have power to do that? Okay? Because He save Noah and his family and so on and so forth, right? All of those would be illustrations of God's power, but that's not what this verse is talking about. Look at verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to who? To usward who believe. Okay? So He's talking about believers. He's talking about those in the context in verse 13 who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of their salvation, who have believed it and have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, right? So there are some things about that He wants you to be understanding, that He wants you to be enlightened unto, that He wants you to know. And there's something there in verse 19. Look at it again. excuse me. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Look at, has God demonstrated exceeding great power to us who believe? Okay? How? Where? Where was this power demonstrated? How was it demonstrated? Where was it manifested? How was it put on display? Read the rest of the verse. According to. So, it's not a random thing. It's not any old thing God did in the Old Testament by His power. It's something very specific. According to the working of His mighty power, here it is, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the what? The dead, and set Him at His own right hand, where? Now, I listen, folks, I'm going to have to tell you this. I back up from that verse and I say, that verse will blow your mind. Okay? That verse says that for you and me, has God demonstrated to us who believe the same mighty working power of God that He used when He raised Jesus Christ from the dead? Okay? That's what the verse says. I believe the verse because that's what it says, right? I can't even begin to dive into the depths of all that and explain to you exactly how that works. I just know that that's what it says, right? And then I know after that, go to chapter 2, verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together with Christ and made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. So the same power that God Almighty used to raise Christ from the dead in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, is the same power that He manifested and demonstrated to us who believe when He took us out of Adam. Not only did He put us into Christ, but He exalted us and set us with Christ, where? In the heavenly places. Are you already a beneficiary of that power? Amen. Did you feel that power? Were you like, ooh, I feel it happening? No. But the verse says that God, by the same power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, did the same thing for you and set you in Christ at the right hand of God the Father. Okay? You with that? Verse 21. Ephesians 1, 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to what? To come. So, is there an exceeding greatness of His power to us for that believe? Okay? So my point there, the same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is expressed to us for who believe. And it's by virtue of this power that Christ has been magnified and glorified and given a position of authority in the heavenly places far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And it's on the basis of that same power that you and I have been seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ. Okay? Now that's where you are right now spiritually. You might not feel like that. You might not wake up every morning and be like, oh, I just feel like I... No, you're not... That's, but that doesn't mean that it's not what? True. Because that's what God's Word says. God's Word says that you right now, positionally, are seated in Christ at the right hand of God the Father, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, and every name that is named, at the right hand of God the Father in Christ. Okay? Go to Ephesians 3. So, that's obviously not a physical thing. Right? When you got saved, was the power of God unto salvation in you believing the gospel? That power of God unto salvation for you believing the gospel, it wasn't physical power. You didn't get like a jolt of, you know, electricity running through you when you got saved. But yet, did something happen to you spiritually when you trusted the finished work of Christ that you cannot feel, that you did not know fully was going on until you get into the book and read it and understand it? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, here it is, to be strengthened with what? might. Does that sound familiar? That's Colossians chapter 1 verse 11, right? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious what? Power, right? Don't lose sight of why we're in these verses. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory. There it is. It's His what? It's His glory. It's His glorious power back over in Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit where? In the inner man. Okay? There's a strengthening with might by the Spirit in the inner man that Paul is praying for here that the Ephesians would understand. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now look at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Okay? So let me read from my notes here. Ephesians 3 is talking about a strengthening with might that can only occur by the Holy Spirit of God that indwells us, and it's concerning something that is happening where? In your inner man, right? In the part of you that's not what? Physical. Folks, you understand that when you got saved, this goes to the heart of the issue, right? You understand that when you got saved, okay, you got all new hardware. You got a hardware update. Right? You got a heartware update. Who came into your heart when you trusted Christ, when you believed the gospel and trusted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Who took you out of Adam and put you in Christ and established a residency in your inner man? God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ through God, through the indwelling presence of God the Holy Spirit, right? Okay? And so you had a heartware update. Your hardware got updated, right? But you know what? Your new hardware is still trying to run the old software. Right? And the reason that you struggle, the reason I struggle, is because everything about our inner man has been made new through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day after you got saved, did you wake up and did you just have all the new software automatically imprinted in your brain? No, right? And so what you're doing as you walk the Christian life is you're trying to sort all that out, right? And that's why you need to renew your what? Your mind, right? When you renew your mind, what you're trying to do is to get your software to agree with what? Your hardware, and to run the program the way it's supposed to be what? You guys that are into computers, you know what I'm talking about, right? Your hardware is not outdated. Okay? Your software is in need of a daily what? Update. Okay? So what he's talking about here is the strengthening with might of the Spirit in the inner man, right? And that the power of God, this power, down there in verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us, this power is about what God is doing, the mighty work of His power that He's doing where? In your inner man. In your heart. So in Ephesians 1 we learn that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is demonstrated to us who believe. And in Ephesians 3 we learn that this strengthening with might comes by the Holy Spirit to empower our inner what? So go back with me to Colossians chapter 1. Is God working in your life? God is working in your life according to His glorious power. Right? He is working in your life according to the same power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from what? The dead. Colossians 1:11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Okay? Our ability to walk worthy in verse 10. Our ability to be fruitful in every good work, in verse 10, is not a matter of our strength or our power or our might to do so, Rather, it is God's strength and God's might and God's power that produces within us the ability to walk worthy and to be fruitful in every what? Good work. We have to make the choice, right? Is the power source there for you to have victory? Yes. What you need to do, what I need to do, is we just need to get our software to agree with our what? Our hardware. Okay? But the power to walk worthy, the power to be fruitful in every good work, the power is not from me or you or us collectively. The power is according to the working of His mighty what? You understand? God, has God, if you're saved, has God already done a mighty work in you? Yes. And now that He's done that, is He just like, ah, see you on the other side, brother? Is that what He's doing? No. Is He continuing to work in you, to strengthen you with all might, according to His glorious what? Power. Okay, so, that means then that I should be able to speak prosperity to my finances, correct? That means then that I should be able to speak healing to my body and somebody else's, right? Because it's according to His glorious power and the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, right? So I should have authority now to go out and raise people from the dead, right? That's gotta be what that means, right? No. I'll tell you why in a second here, right? But, can you misunderstand that?
Absolutely.
Okay, now, we are just lucky enough that God gave us His Word so that we don't have to misunderstand it. Read verse 11. Strengthen with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with what? And everyone's like, oh no. I really wanted it to be that I could speak prosperity to my finances. I really wanted it to be that I could do that, right? But the power here, the strengthening with might, according to His glorious power, notice it's unto something. What's it unto? It's unto all patience and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. Now everyone's all bummed out. Good, I hope so. Let's keep going though. Unto all patience, long suffering with joyfulness. God's strength and might is not going to give you the power to heal people. It's not going to give you the power to raise the dead. It's not going to give you the power to speak prosperity over your finances. Rather, it is unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Look at the structure of that verse. Phrase one, strengthen with all might. Now, if that verse stopped there, could you be really confused and take that any way you want? Okay? But it didn't stop there. Strengthen with all might. Okay, how? According to His glorious power. So we've understood that, right? Again, if it stopped there, might you be confused and think you could do things that you can't? But then it tells you the purpose, right? Unto all patience and long-suffering with what? Okay, now I want you to hear me on this. You should not be upset about that or disappointed. Because being strengthened unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, that is exactly what you and I need today as members of the body of Christ to live in the current dispensation of grace. That is exactly what you and I need today as members of the church, the body of Christ, to live in the current dispensation of grace, right? What is God doing today? He is holding back His wrath. Is He long-suffering with the world and giving mankind, Jew and Gentile, without distinction, an opportunity to get saved? Yes. And has He been doing that for the better part of 2,000 years? So if you're a member of the body of Christ, what have you needed for 2,000 years? You have needed some patience and you've needed some what? Long-suffering. Right? And notice how, this is in verse 11. Verse 9 said, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual what? Understanding, right? So if you're going to understand the will of God, and if you're going to understand what God's doing, then you understand that God is setting the dispensation of grace up in such a way to give every man every opportunity to trust Christ and be saved. Okay? Do we know when the current dispensation is going to end?
No.
Hopefully it'll end soon, right? But maybe it won't. And if it doesn't, do we need long-suffering and patience as we wait for the redemption of our what? So what He's going to strengthen you for, me for, us for, according to His glorious power, is exactly the things that we need in order to live in the current dispensation that we are in, and that is what? Patience and what? Long-suffering. Okay, now, what's patience? This might seem obvious, but patience is steadfastness, consistency, endurance. Steadfastness, consistency, endurance. Doesn't Paul say that we should not be weary in well-doing? Knowing that in due time we shall reap if we what? What do we need? We need patience and we need consistency. We need to continue to work the program and do what God tells us to do until the dispensation what? Ends, and the strengthening here is going to be exactly in line with what you and I need to be able to do that as a member of the body of Christ. Then it says long-suffering. Unto all patience and long-suffering. Long-suffering is bearing injuries or provocations for a long time. Bearing injuries and provocations for a long time. Not easily provoked. Let me just tell you kind of where my thoughts went this week as I was pondering on all this and what I was going to say. For me, I look at this world out here and I look at how screwed up it is, how messed up it is, how totally contrary to God's word it is. In basic fundamental behavior of something as simple as male and female created He them. Okay? Not to mention marriage, not to mention all sorts of things that you can look out there and just see total and utter confusion, right? And in my mind, I look at that and I get very impatient and I get very wanting of the Lord to come. Right? What's God's attitude about that? God's attitude about that is, I'm going to give every single one of these dudes out here every opportunity that I can for them to trust my Son. Right? Because it's my will, it's my heart, God says, for all men to be what? Saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? So what I'm going to experience strengthening according to His working power is in me being able to align my thinking with God's thinking about the nature of the time that I what? That I live in. Okay? Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Hold your hand there and come over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I hope this is making sense to you. Apparently it's not because nobody said anything, so we'll just move on. Unto all patience and long-suffering. So there's a strengthening with all might, according to His glorious power. We've talked about those two things. Unto all patience and long-suffering. So we're still talking about patience and long-suffering, okay? What are the fruit of the Spirit? Look at chapter 5, verse 22 of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. What's the next one? Joy. We'll talk about joy in a minute. Peace. Ah, look at the next one. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no what? Here's what I want you to see. Paul's statement in Colossians chapter 1:11 about being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joy with joyfulness, that statement is exactly in line with the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Okay? Now, Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Just a few things to look at here or to think about. Did Paul have a thorn in the flesh? Now, the text doesn't say exactly what it was. This is presented all manner of speculation and so forth on the part of theologians, but I want to show you something here, or have you think about something here. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Was Paul constantly receiving revelation from God Almighty as the apostle of the Gentiles? Yes. Okay? And because of that, God, lest Paul become too big for his britches, is there a thorn in the flesh that Paul has to deal with here? Okay? Notice what he says about that. Verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might" what? "Depart from me." He says, "Lord, please, take this thing from me." Verse 9, "He said unto me, my grace is" what? "Sufficient for thee, for my strength." Here, so we're talking about strength and power. "For my strength is made perfect in" what? "Weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may" what? "Rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then He is" what? Does Paul learn, first of all, is God going to just take it away from him? No. But does he have the spiritual capacity of strength through God Almighty to be able to deal with the thorn in the flesh? Okay? Now, if he's going to do that, how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through patience and what? Long-suffering. Go over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be" what? Okay. Are you suffering now? Are there sufferings in this present time? Okay. And they stink. Nobody likes them. I'm not going to stand up here and say, "Oh, yay." Okay? But what's the verse say? The sufferings of this present time, what's it say? Are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? Okay? Has God made you by the working of His mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, has He made you a part of a program that is total and utter glory for you on the other side? Yes. Okay? Now, from now till then, what do I need to have? Patience and what? Long-suffering. Verse 19. "For the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Do you know that the entire creation is waiting for this? Does the created order know that things are not as they should be? Yes! Okay? And they're waiting for the day when the curse will be what? Lifted. Verse 20. "For the creature was not made subject to vanity," was made subject to vanity, "not willingly." So, did the creature itself, did the creative order out there go out and say, "Oh, we want to be cursed"? No. Who made that choice? Adam did. And as a result of Adam's choice, did God curse the created order? Okay? Drop verse 20. "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Is this creation going to be redeemed? Okay? "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves." What's the next word? Waiting. Don't you hate waiting? I hate waiting. Okay? When you go to Meijer, I mean, do you purposely put yourself in the longest line? Are you like, oh, praise the Lord, I want to be here 2 hours longer than I need to be. I'm going to go in that line. Is that the way you function? No, how do you function? You try to get into the shortest line with the quickest checkout person so you can get in and out and on with your life as fast as you what? As you can, right? But he says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves waiting. Are you told right there that you have to wait for the adoption to it, the redemption of your body? Waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with what? What's the next word? Patience. Do what? Wait for it. Pastor Lee, Becky's grandma, Sister Nash, others, Linda Nash, others that have been a part of the assembly in years gone by, Bart's wife, we could go on and on. Doug Harden, all the members of the assembly that have gone to glory and been promoted to eternity, right? How many of you would have loved to have been able to tell those folks that they could have been healed and had all their infirmities removed from them and so on and so forth? But that's not what the verse says. The verse says that then do we with patience what? Wait for it. So as you have to watch them go through what they went through, is there a strength that God is promising to work in the inner man? Not to fix it, not to make it all better, not to take it away, but to grant you and your inner man the strength and the long-suffering to be able to what? Endure it. Endure it how? Patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now see, that's a hard one too. One more thing though I want to say. Come over with me to... Well, you're in Romans 8, right? You're still in Romans 8. Just drop quick to verse 35. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through Him that what? Loved us. Okay? That's to say that none of the physical circumstances, not being killed, not being naked, not being in famine or persecution or tribulation or distress, that none of the physical circumstances that you might find yourself in, none of them are indicative of God's favor or disfavor. None of them. Rather, God, through Jesus Christ, who loved us, has made it possible for us to rise above the circumstances and live in life as more than what? Conquerors. Folks, you got to understand something here. Okay, this chart over here is great. It's fundamental. You got to understand this stuff. But the reason to understand that is not to turn that into a bunch of mental gymnastics and games that you play with the Bible. The reason to understand that is because that understanding unlocks in your life an understanding of who you are in Christ. That you're not Israel, that you're the body of Christ. That you're not under the law, that you're under what? Grace, okay? And being under grace, is there a life of grace that is produced in you by the Spirit living in you? You know, the other thing you can take solace in, come over to 2 Corinthians 4. No, that's not what I want. I want 1 Corinthians 10. I'm going to have to move on because I got to quit soon. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to what? man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to what? Do you understand that nothing's going to happen to you that hasn't happened to somebody else? Okay? And that won't happen to somebody else after who? After you. Come back with me over to Colossians. I have other stuff in here about Paul and Philippians learning how to be content. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He talks about learning how to abound and how to be abased and so on and so forth. And he says, well, you know, whether I'm full or I'm hungry, how he's learned that in all those things is Christ sufficient for him. Okay? So come back with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. So it's unto all patience and long suffering with what? With joyfulness. Okay? So again, is God gonna, does God strengthen you, strengthen me, strengthen us in the inner man in the exact ways that we need to be strengthened as members of the church, the body of Christ, living in the dispensation of grace? Okay? And then it says, unto all patience and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. So as we are strengthened by God unto all patience and long suffering, it's with the quality of joyfulness. Joyfulness. Where is this joy coming from? Is this joy coming from because you just look at the circumstances and you're just so happy that this is going wrong and that's going wrong and this person over here stabbed you in the back and that person just can't get their act together and, you know, that other person at the church, they talk behind my back and sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so doesn't like, you know, I don't know, that I didn't wear a tie this morning or they don't like the color of the carpet or they don't think the new chairs exactly match the decor or whatever they're mad about. Okay? I don't think that, by the way, just so you know. Gotta be careful on that one there, alright? Is that where it's coming from? No! Okay? If you are looking to your circumstances to find joy, you will never be joyful. Okay? A while back, I didn't ask if I could say this. Can I say about the joy thing? I just got permission.
Yeah,
sort of. If you are looking to your circumstances to find joy, you will never be what? You'll never be joyful. And by the way, happiness and joy are not the same thing. They're not. Okay? Christ is our joy. Okay? Not circumstances. Christ is our joy. So there's a power unto His, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with what? Just as the ability to be patient, just as the ability to be long suffering is not going to come from your strength and your own flesh and your own ability to be those things, you will also find the joy through the power of Christ and God Almighty in you. He is our joy. He is our strength. We can rejoice knowing that God has equipped us to live for His honor and glory during the present dispensation of grace. Every day we wake up, is God offering the lost world around us an opportunity to be saved? Yes. Where do you find your joy? That's where you should find your what? Joy should come from you understanding that you are in league with the God of the universe, whose heart is so big towards humanity that He's willing to give them over 2,000 years of an opportunity to trust the gospel of their salvation. Okay? Hold your hand here, and in conclusion, I want you to get 2 Corinthians 4. Here's joy. You know, you watch Pastor Lee, for example, go through what he went through. Talking to Sister Darlene, it's when you're in that, it seems like forever. Same thing as I think about what's going on right now with Becky's grandma and her mom and so forth, right? It seems like forever. But is it? I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not trying to sort of... But what does the Scripture say about these things? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look with me at verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for what?" Imagine, I want you to think about that. For our light affliction... which is but for a moment. Imagine having eternal punishment for all time. Imagine having eternal separation from God for all eternity. But our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Now let me just tell you one thing, okay? I know that if I live long enough and the Lord doesn't come, that I'm going to have to stare down a verse like that, and I'm going to have to, and it'll test me whether I believe what it says. It might not be right now, and it might be easy for me to stand up here and say this, right? But I know there are people who are going through stuff, that are dealing with stuff, that this is still exactly what they need to hear. Okay? But for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Here it is. While we look not at the things which are what? Seen, but the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Right? Go back to Colossians chapter 1. Believers, we are often too focused on the temporal and not on the what? Eternal. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power on all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Every day that we wake up, God is offering the lost world around us an opportunity to be saved. Our joy is not found in our circumstances. Our joy is found in Christ. Christ is our joy. So what does that mean? That means we can be strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto the exact things that we need. The exact things that we need. Patience and long suffering with what? So we can joyfully suffer long with patience. Why? Because we know that our light afflictions are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what? Do you understand that under grace, God has put you in a situation where even your afflictions can be a positive thing in your life? And they can actually work for you? Now, I have to tell you that... I have to tell you, you need to do some serious software updates to wrap your mind around that. But that's what the text says. And I do believe, as I've gotten older, and I'm not old, okay, I'm 42, but as I've grown in my understanding of the Scripture, I believe that God is capable of giving you exactly what you need when you need it at the moment that you need it. Okay? Whatever strengthening you need in your inner man, is He able to give it to you? Is He able to allow you to deal with life with long suffering and patience and to do it joyfully? Okay? Now, I have to tell you, your old man, your old software there, it hears stuff. See, here's what happens. You come to church and you preach this and you're like, oh, yes, woo! And then you leave and like the tire goes flat on the car on the way home and you're like, Right? It's the way it is. What are you going to do when the tire goes flat? What are you going to do when the kids aren't listening to you or running after evil things or doing things that they shouldn't? What are you going to do when you're having conflict with your wife, your spouse, your husband, somebody at work, somebody in the church, whatever, right? What are you going to do? You get in here and you find the answer. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for these saints that have listened to your word preached. We pray that this subject matter, that this content would be edifying. We're just so grateful for all that you've done for us through Christ. We pray that, we do pray about the visitation for Pastor Lee, the funeral this Saturday. We pray that those would go as well as possible given the circumstances. We know that the gospel will be preached, and we pray that it would have a powerful impact upon those present. We're grateful for the opportunity that we've had to know Pastor Lee, to know Darlene and Steve, and to be a part of his ministry and all that was accomplished there. We're grateful for those things. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right.